olo e mafuta male SBS Samoan.
Mr. Pat Conroy, thanks for taking time out from your busy schedule with the campaign to talk to us.
My pleasure.
Let's start with the Solomon Islands. What are the implications for Australia and the Pacific region of the deal that's just been signed between the Solomons and China?
Well, the deal represents the greatest foreign policy blunder in our region by the Australian government since World War II. It has the potential to undermine the security of both Australia and the broader region, and it demonstrates that the Australian government has not maintained a sufficiently good relationship with our Pacific friends. Obviously, the Solomon Islands is a sovereign nation and they can enter into deals with whoever they want. But this pact demonstrates that they no longer see Australia as their security partner of choice. They are turning towards China because they don't perceive the Australian government as supporting their security.
But isn't that showing some degree of ingratitude on the part of Honiara? I mean, after Ramsey, and even as recent as last November, they had problems, and the federal government of Australia had to help them out. I mean,
well, I'll just repeat that the Solomon Islands are a sovereign nation,
mm-hmm.
and they do make decisions based on what they perceive as the best interests for their country. It's not a question of ingratitude or anything of that nature. The question is, Australia should strive to be the partner of choice, particularly the security partner of choice for nations in the Pacific, and this government has clearly failed on that front with the Solomon Islands. So it's one where I think the warning signs were there early, particularly when Solomon Islands changed their sort of UN vote from Taiwan to mainland China, and that should have ramped up Australia's interests. Obviously, there was the warnings from the Solomon Islands opposition leader as early as August last year. And so this is a case where Scott Morrison and the Australian government have dropped the ball big time.
If Labor were to win the next election and you become the Minister for International Development and the Pacific, how would you address China's increasing influence in the region?
Well, we've announced a comprehensive Pacific strategy a few weeks back, and the important thing is that that strategy brings together all the sort of levers that the Australian government has in terms of enhancing diplomatic capability, boosting defence and security cooperation, providing effective climate leadership, enhancing development assistance, boosting Australian media outreach, and improving our people-to-people ties. Those levers are, I think, critical to Australia returning to a position of being the partner of choice in the region. So they range from increasing overseas development assistance to the Pacific by $525 million to a new Pacific engagement visa. And these are all important initiatives that I think will boost Australia's standing in the Pacific, will boost our ties with individual Pacific Island nations, and I think improve the security of both Australia and the region more broadly.
The Solomon's government, via its consular rep in Australia, has pointed at the communications breakdown between the federal government and the rest of the so-called Pacific family.
Mm.
For example, he said that they were never consulted on AUKUS. There isn't a firm commitment to zero emissions to address climate change. Mm. Are these fair complaints to make?
Well, on climate change, they are manifestly fair criticisms. Australia signed up to the Boyd Declaration in 2018 as a member of the PIF, which says that climate change is the number one existential threat for the entire region. And what has this government done? Not only has it not really committed to net zero emissions, it's actively worked against it. In global forums, its 2030 target is manifestly inadequate. And you just have to look at the behaviour of Scott Morrison at the 2019 Pacific Islands Forum, where he bullied other leaders into watering down the communique. The fact that the Fijian leader said that Mr. Morrison's behaviour was arrogant and that it was offensive and that it would push nations, and I quote, towards China. This just demonstrates that this government's opposition to taking action on climate change is undermining our broader position in the Pacific.
If you were to become the next Minister for International Development and the Pacific, how different would your approach be to the Pacific Islands Forum and to the Pacific region in general, especially on matters of climate change and the dialogue around it?
Well, on climate change, our position would be significantly different. First off, we've committed to net zero emissions and we will legislate that. We'll make that the law of the land. We'll also increase our 2030 target to 43%, which is a good pathway to net zero emissions. We'll also play an active role in the global leadership around climate change, and we'll seek to host a conference of the parties, a UN climate conference, together with the Pacific Island nations. And so all that, I think, will signal that we're very keen to re-engage on climate. And we've also announced that we would establish a Pacific Climate Infrastructure Financing Partnership that will support climate and clean energy projects in Pacific nations. So I think if Labor is fortunate enough to be elected on the 21st of May, you will see a government, and me if I'm fortunate enough to be the Minister for the Pacific, who are very engaged on climate change, who are committed to the Boyd Declaration and committed to working with not only all the Pacific Island nations, but the Pacific Island Forum to advance the fight against climate change.
AusAid, or our share of foreign aid, it's undergone some changes over the past couple of terms of the coalition government. Will a Labor government continue its present commitment to the Pacific, or will we see an increase in aid support in education, infrastructure, and, of course, climate change?
Well, what we've seen over the last 10 years is a disgrace. This government has cut overseas development assistance or foreign aid by $11.8 billion. And that's had a dramatic impact not only on our relationship with developing countries, but also had a harmful impact on those nations themselves. So Labor is committed to reversing this, and we announced 2 weeks ago that we would increase official development assistance to Pacific countries and Timor-Leste by $525 million over the next 4 years, and that would not be done at the expense of other nations. So that would be additional funding over and above the current funds to rebuild that partnership. And we also signalled that we will be very focused on investing in the so-called human capital, investing in the people of the Pacific and their outcomes. So, for example, I was really distressed that this government cut health assistance by a third to Samoa during their measles epidemic. The fact that they've cut education fund assistance to Timor-Leste, the fact that they've cut governance assistance to Solomon Islands by 41%, demonstrate that they're not serious about investing in the people of the Pacific and Timor-Leste, and we're very much committed to reversing that.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the people investment with the Pacific Island nations. There have been complaints and allegations of exploitation made by Samoan workers under the Pacific Islands Seasonal Workers Scheme. First of all, do you support the idea of an ag visa?
Well, we support the idea of a Pacific agriculture visa. Labor's goal is that the Pacific labour schemes should be the primary source of labour for the primary source of migrant labour for the agricultural sector, as well as other regional industries such as tourism and hospitality. We do not support a so-called agricultural visa from ASEAN nations.
So what can be done to monitor the scheme so that employers or growers, you know, the very few of them, do not take advantage or exploit the workers?
Yeah. Well, we made a series of announcements about how we can make the schemes more attractive to Pacific Island workers. their homelands and employers, and at the same time cracking down on the exploitation that's occurred across all of the temporary skilled visa categories. And some of the things we've signaled is full implementation of all the recommendations from the Migrant Worker Task Force. I think that's really important. We've also said that we'll work with state, territory and local governments to crack down on some of the most outrageous rorts, which is around the sort of living conditions of workers. Mm-hmm. Often workers officially get paid a decent wage, but then there might be 16 workers crammed into a four-bedroom house and the level of rent is outrageous. We've also said that we would establish a firewall between the Department of Home Affairs and the Fair Work Ombudsman so that migrant workers can report cases of abuse without risking losing their visa. And we'd also increase portability so that if a worker was abused, they could make a complaint, we could go after the employer and they could find work somewhere else so that they didn't automatically get deported back to their homeland. So we absolutely have to crack down on exploitation. And I've made the point that not only is that exploitation horrible for the individual involved, it gives Australia a bad name in that particular worker's homeland. And that's undermines Australia's relationship with the Pacific. So we're committed to cracking down on exploitation, but also making the schemes more attractive for both employers and employees, because we think that these Pacific labour schemes are a great example of how our proximity and our people-to-people ties can work to advance all our interests. And just to give you an example, there are 55,000 Pacific Island workers who are already pre-screened to come to Australia. If all of those workers found work in the long-term visas that we would put in place, that would represent, and they provided the average remittances back to their homelands, that would represent something like $850 million in additional income going to Pacific nations. That's mm-hmm. massive.
Mm, it is. Mr. Pat Conroy, thank you very much, Fafta Tilalava, for talking to us.
No, not a pleasure. It's always an opportunity. Thank you. Have a good day.
Toi fia whaafafonga I nisi tala whapea? Whaafafonga I le Apple Podcast, le Google Podcast, Spotify, ma po o whea lawai mawailau podcast.